you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. And there ends the reading of God's Word this evening. And we'll jump over to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 40. There's three questions this evening, 105, 106, and 107. And I'll read the question if you would respond. So question 105 asks, what is God's will for us in the sixth commandment? Question 106, does this commandment refer only to killing? And question 107, is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? So we're back into the catechism. And if you remember back a couple weeks ago, we started the second table of the law. Right? The second table, the table of the law that deals with our horizontal relationship with one another, with our neighbors. Right? The first four commandments of the law, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with our vertical relationship with God, how we worship God, how we worship God rightly, the way He wants us to worship Him. But these last six commandments deal with how we treat one another. And we looked last week, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at, remember, how we honor our father and mother. Why was that a commandment? We looked at why God started in the home. Right? We saw that that's how society needed to start, needed to run from the home and then go out. But when we get to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, we really see how God's law is not just outward. Right? Really, we see how God's law is not about just doing, but it's inward. What do I mean? Well, as we do the law now out of gratitude, it should become a way of life. How we think. What we say. And we see this tonight in the catechism. It's not just about doing, 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 but it's about what's going on in here. What's going on in here throughout the day with those we love. And as the catechism says, with our enemy. So remember what Jesus said, it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but what comes out. And sometimes what comes out isn't words, but it's looks or gestures. Thinking about our nonverbals this evening. How often do we stop and think about our nonverbals in church? Well, tonight we're going to. You know, we've all heard this saying, if looks could kill, right? But in God's eyes, looks do kill, right? Because it all comes from our hearts. Looking at our text this evening, Jesus brings out this very thing in the Sermon on the Mount. After the Beatitudes, Jesus starts to teach us principles about the law, giving us six examples in the Sermon on the Mount, teaching us how to apply the law to our lives. And he starts with, do not murder. And you're thinking, wow, Jesus, that's where you want to start, huh? Do not murder. Well, we're going to see why he starts there tonight. Because he goes on from murder to adultery to bear false witness. And he keeps with that second table of the law. How we treat one another. How we deal with one another. How we love one another. And how does he go about this? Well, he starts off telling us how we got the law wrong. And how he's going to fix it. Right. I'll read the text again. You have heard that it was said of those of old. And then he tells us what they taught. And then he would say, but I say to you. So he tells us what the scribes and Pharisees, what they learned and what they are teaching. And then he's telling them, no. Listen to me now. Because they've gotten it wrong all this time. Right? Their interpretation of the law wasn't dealing with the heart. It was just about do. Jesus here is making a point that he has greater authority than the scribes and the Pharisees. And he wants the people to know that what he's telling them is the truth. But before we jump into that, I just want to make a point that we are going to, that as we're going through the law of God and the catechism, what the catechism is pointing out is the same thing that Jesus is teaching here in Matthew. That it's the spirit of the law that matters primarily. Not just the letter of the law. Sometimes we look at the law and we think, yeah, we need to do it, but just like it says. Right, that letter of the law. But Jesus says, slow down. Slow down. It's the spirit of the law that's primary. Conformity to the law is not just action only, what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. But it's our thoughts, and it's our motives, and it's even our desires. And if we look at it this way, we can see that the law is not only negative. Because when we read the law, what does it say? You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. But it's not only negative, but there's positives there. Right? In other words, it isn't that we stop doing the things that break the law, but that we love to do the things that are right. You see the difference? We stop doing the things that break the law, but we love to do the things that are right. And I love this, how question 107 asks, is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any way? No. Right? No, it's really calling us to love. To do what is right to our neighbor, even to our enemy. Now going back to our text, Jesus begins by saying, you have heard that it was said to these of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. So really there's two things being taught there. You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment. Well, we know the first part of that, don't we? We hear it every week. You shall not murder, Exodus 20, verse 13. But the next part isn't found in Exodus. It's down in Numbers. Right? Numbers 35 gets brought out. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Right, Moses goes on to this big section in Numbers 35 about the cities of refuge. He goes on to this big section about murder. Murder, preemptive murder. Murder that's in your mind first and then you do it. But then he also talks about those who accidentally kill someone and where they need to go if they do. Right? And throughout chapter 35 of Numbers, we see that, and I've said this before from the pulpit, that the penalty for murdering someone was death. There wasn't like a sacrifice that you could do if you killed somebody. If you murdered somebody from the evilness of your heart, you couldn't go to the temple and have a sacrifice and pay for that sin. No, the penalty was death. There was no sacrifice to pay for it, only judgment. But if you accidentally killed someone, you could run to these cities of refuge. And you could be safe. And you could have a trial there. And you could stay there while your trial was happening. Or if the high priest died while you were there, you were set free. And that's a different sermon for a different day. But in verse 30 of Numbers 35, we can read this. And this is really what the Pharisees grabbed onto when they put these two things together. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against the person for the death penalty. So you shall not murder, and whoever does murder will be in danger of the judgment. Jesus is saying both of those are in the Bible, and both of those are true. They're both biblical statements. But what happened when the Pharisees and the scribes put these together and taught the sixth commandment is that it only dealt with murder only, and it stopped being about your heart. You're thinking, Pastor, why do we need to know this? What does all this mean? What is Jesus getting at? Because you shall not murder from Exodus 20 is so much bigger than taking someone's life. Just like honoring your father and your mother just didn't deal with your father and your mother, did it? It dealt with everybody in authority over you. Who to give honor to. Now this commandment is here to show us our heart. To the Pharisees, what they wanted to do, they wanted to make the law as easy as possible. Because they knew if they could do the law, they can get into heaven. So they made this commandment just dealing with premeditated murder. That was it. So in their minds, well, I've never killed anybody. I've done the law. Jesus is saying, you are so far from the truth. And over and over again, they would take the law of God and they would make it as easy as possible so that they could do it. Even though they had 612 commandments that they had to do, they tried to make them easier and easier. Like walking on the Sabbath day. What did they figure out? Well, if I left my coat here, my coat is where my home's at. So if I go another 100 feet, I'd leave another piece of cloth there and I go. And it really wasn't walking on the Sabbath because they're trying to beat the law. They're trying to be able to complete it. And if they just made this about murder, like, I'm in the clear. Think of the rich young ruler. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? What does he say to Jesus? He comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to earn eternal life? Remember what Jesus tells him? He tells him to do the law. He tells him to do the second table of the law, those dealing with his neighbor. And what does he say? I've kept them all since my youth. Well, he kept them all the easy way. He never thought about inside here. He never murdered anybody. He never committed adultery. He never stole anything. In his mind, the law is good. I've done it. What's Jesus tell him? Sorry, man. You haven't done the law. Right? If in your mind you can keep the law, right, it's going to lead you down the wrong path your whole life. You're never going to look for a Savior. And Jesus is warning those who are following this kind of teaching. You have heard it said of those of old, but I tell you. Right, what does Jesus talk about in the sixth commandment? But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You're like, what? Oh boy, Lord, now you really put it to us. You start realizing it's not easy. You might be thinking right now, whoa, wait a second, Pastor. The Apostle Paul says that you can be angry and not sin. It's in Ephesians. Right? You know, I'm like, yeah, he does say that. But here's the thing about anger. There's a righteous anger, and there's an unrighteous anger. And I'm going to tell you, about 99% of our anger is unrighteous. So what's Jesus trying to teach us here in the Sixth Commandment? It's not only about murder. It's about your heart. It's about what's going on in there. It's about how you deal with your neighbor. Look at the answer to question 105 in the Catechism. I'm not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. What do you think of that? Makes it tough, doesn't it? So when you belittle or you insult or you hate, you use your words for that. You throw those darts, don't you? What about your look? Murder. Right? What about your gestures? Sometimes we make not nice gestures with our hands. Murder. The answer to the catechism goes on to say, and I am not to be party in this with others. Rather, I'm to put away all desire for revenge. And look at question 106. Does this commandment refer only to killing? By forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder. Envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. See, all those don't come from the outside. They come from right here. In God's sight, all such are murder. That's exactly what Jesus is trying to teach there in the Sermon on the Mount. It's our heart. The anger that's in our heart, the envy, right? Where does anger lead? The hate. Where does hate lead? The suffering. The Catechism tells us to put away all desires for revenge. We live in a world that loves revenge, don't we? We always want to give back at that other person. Just the idea of that, Jesus says, no. When we read the law, we hear the law Sunday morning, and we hear those, that you shall not murder. None of this probably pops into our minds. Like, who of us in here, if you're completely honest with yourself, can say that you've never been guilty of unrighteous anger? None of us can. Unjust anger. See, if we're honest with ourselves and we look in our hearts, Jesus wants us to know that we're all murderers. And that should give us a pause a little bit, because when we think of murder, we don't think of our words. We don't think of our looks or our gestures. God does. And I bet some of us today, just today on the Lord's Day, we've been angry. When we really shouldn't. We get frustrated when we shouldn't have. We get mad when we shouldn't have. And Jesus wants to be clear about this. Right? Look at how he continues in our text. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, as I was going through this, I was like, what's Raca mean? Like, nobody says that word anymore. And I looked it up, and the term Raca is a term used in the first century for abuse and to put down relating to someone's lack of intelligence. So calling them stupid. I thought, wow, that's weird. So if I call someone stupid, I'm in danger of the council. Remember, the council could put you in prison. But then he says, you fool. You fool is like calling someone worthless. Remember, in the Jewish context, that word fool, right? The non-believer was the fool. Remember in the Psalms, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So when you call someone a fool, you're calling them a pagan. You're calling them a Gentile. Right? It was evil. It was vindictive. You fool. You don't believe in God. That would have crushed a Jew if someone would have said that to them. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us a list of the works of the flesh. And the list is gigantic, and I'm going to read it because I want us to see where it goes. Listen to the works of the flesh. This is the Apostle Paul, chapter 5. He writes this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Those things sound really bad, don't they? But look where he turns to next. Hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. Those things come right out of our heart. That whole list, it went from the outside to the inside. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Jesus is saying that when these things come out of your heart, and you notice that, they don't have to come out of your mouth. Right? How many of us think these things about people? Just because it doesn't come out of your mouth doesn't make you a murderer. That should blow us away. Just because you didn't say it, didn't mean you didn't think it. And if you thought it, well, the moment you thought it, you broke the sixth commandment. See, when we think about the law of God, when we think about His holiness, we don't want to make it easier. We want to know what's really in that law, what's really the character of God. And in the character of God, even the thought is murder. The moment that it comes out of your heart, it's a time we need to repent, isn't it? A time for repentance. Even if we didn't say it, we thought it. Time to repent. You're like, okay, Pastor, we've been talking a lot about our hearts here, what's going on inside. But I want to be clear that murdering someone on the outside is still bad. Right, the law is, thou shalt not murder, means you shouldn't kill anybody. We don't just want to think inside, we want to think outside as well. See, the catechism says, and certainly not by actual deeds. It added that on in the end. See, murder is still a sin. And like I said earlier, God didn't give a sacrifice for that one in the Old Testament. Remember what God told Noah after the flood. God's wiped off everybody off the earth, left Noah and his family, the covenant family. And he says this, surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it. And from the hand of every man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the lifeblood of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man, his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. See, murder is a sin because you're taking the life of someone who's made in God's image. And to be clear here, we're talking about premeditated murder. We're not talking about people that go off to war. We're not talking about accidentally killing anybody. This is strictly, thou shalt not murder, means you have vindictiveness in your heart and you premeditate someone's death. Right, accidental death, God made a way out of that. The cities of refuge. But for those who've done it out of evil and hate, no, nothing. Right, we're talking about senseless murder. We're talking about terrorist attacks. We're talking about mass shootings. Those things are wicked. But look what else the catechism says. This goes so much bigger than what you think, doesn't it? The catechism goes on and it says this, and I'm not to harm or recklessly endanger myself. Suicide is breaking the sixth commandment. Beloved, you are made in God's image. And if you ever feel like suicide is the only option and you're going to harm yourself, I beg you to come find me. My phone number is in this bulletin. Go to one of your elders. It's not the only option. It just isn't. Another thing we need to think about is when there are laws made by the government that completely go against this idea that the human life is sacred and made in the image of God. This is why we stand against abortion. We believe that a child is being knit together in its mother's womb. Right? It's an image bearer of God. And that baby is a human all the way back to conception. And should not be killed, period. I'm going to say this out loud here, but I believe abortion is one of, if not the most wicked thing on this planet. And just because one battle has been won in the courts doesn't mean the war is over. We still need to be praying all the time for this. There are people out there in the United States of America that will fight to the death to kill unborn children. Do you believe that? It blows my mind. They will literally fight tooth and nail to kill unborn children. That's wickedness. That's Satan run amok on the earth. That's how messed up this world is. And we need to be praying against this. Sure, we've won one battle, but that war is raging right now in the United States. And I love how one pastor put it. He said, how pro-life are you? Because that question is way bigger than you ever thought it was. How pro-life are you? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? That's pro-life. Look at question 107 again. Is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any way? No. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to him, to protect him from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. Really? Yes. Even to our enemies. Now let's look at each other a bit in this room, because your closest neighbor are those in your own home. How are you treating those in your own home? Boys and girls, if you're still awake, do you honor your father and your mother? Those of you that have brothers and sisters, okay, here we go. If you have brothers and sisters, do you know that your sibling is your first friend that you ever make? Are you patient with them? Are you gentle with them? Right? I know how it is to have little sisters. Sometimes you're like, but you gotta love them. Husbands and wives, here we go. Do you love one another? You know, one of the things that they told us in this marriage conference a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went to this marriage conference, and one of the things, and I recommend this marriage conference to anybody, it was one of the best things. And one of the things they said is that look at your spouse. And so we looked at each other, and you say, you are not my enemy. You think that's cheesy, but man, it goes deep. You are not my enemy. See, we're called to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to our neighbor. And our closest neighbor, if you're married, is your spouse. And as a church, and as Christians who know these things, if we can't be like this with our spouse, the world doesn't have a chance. The world doesn't have a chance if we can't do this. Now, going outside the home, those of you that are with others sometimes more than your family, like your work employees, right? You're at work all the time. How do you feel about your boss sometimes? How many times have you murdered your boss? Not literally. What about at church? Right? What if I say something that rubs you the wrong way? Or an elder? Or somebody in the line for coffee? Do you let it boil inside? Does it turn to bitterness and anger? You know, I need to hear this just as much as anybody else. Right? I used to hold on to bitterness in my heart for way too long. And it's a struggle with all of us. Ultimately, I want us to think of Jesus. Think of Jesus as he grew up in this life. He was different. He was like us in every way without sin. But we know how teenagers can be. We know how little kids can be. I think Jesus took a lot of that stuff. Jesus growing up and hearing the things of the Pharisees towards him. When he's going to the cross. I think he could have just been, oh, bitterness and anger. Not a bit. Loved every single person. Loved them all the way to the cross. After all the whipping and the scourging and the nailing, what does he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If you want the ultimate example of not murdering somebody in your heart, it's got to be Jesus. Got to be Jesus. See, we're to love everybody in all areas of our life. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do in the sixth commandment. Right? Thou shalt not murder is so much bigger than we ever thought it was. As we now do the law out of gratitude, the law needs to become a way of life. A way we think. It needs to be different. We just don't want to do. But we want to look in and think, ooh, how am I doing? Do I hold anger? Am I bitter? Do I murder people with my looks? Maybe I should work on that. Right? It's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but what comes out. See, we should be striving not to be murderers, both on the outside and, of course, on the inside as well. And that's what God's will is for the sixth commandment in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we dive deep into your law, Lord, and we just think about it just at face value, thou shalt not murder, we're doing pretty good. But when we stop and really think about it, Lord, and we really understand what it means. You have heard it said, but I say to you, do not be angry, Lord. So, Lord, we look to you. We look to you because we can't do this. We need help. Lord, we pray that we can work on this, that we're not murderers in our hearts, that we love our neighbor all the way to the smallest neighbor, our brothers and sisters, our husbands and wives, Lord, help us. We beg you. Help us to remember that even the littlest thing that comes out of our mouth is murder. If there's any anger and hate in it, oh Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.